It's hard to believe that it is November 1st of the year 2020. We began in January thinking about the theme of life in Christ. And as we think about where we are in our lives in Christ, in the world that we live in at this moment, I want to encourage us all to think about that life in Christ is lived in the world. Today, there are Christians in the world who live in and under all types of governments, democracies, monarchies, kingdoms, dictatorships. When we look at the beginning of life in Christ, it began in the Middle East when Rome ruled the world. In Acts, the 17th chapter, in the first 7 verses, we read about some Christians who troubled the rulers of the city of Thessalonica. And they troubled those rulers of the world of their time by saying, "There is another king, Jesus." What were they and what are we saying when we say to the world in which we live today that there is another king, Jesus? Among other things, we are saying, number one, that we are professing allegiance to Jesus as king. A king is a ruler, one who has authority and power over a kingdom. And so therefore we are claiming, when we say that there is another King Jesus, we are claiming the existence of another kingdom. A king rules a realm. By saying there is another King Jesus, we are claiming that he rules over, has authority over, is sovereign over a specific realm. And so when we say that, it gets people's attention. This caught the attention of the rulers of Thessalonica in Acts 17. And it would continue to catch the attention of Roman rulers throughout the book of Acts and throughout the time of the writing of the New Testament. Of course, this caught the attention of the Roman rulers of Jesus's day. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 1, a multitude arose and led Jesus to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow, this Jesus, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him and said, "It is as you say." Of course, these charges that Jesus was perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar were false. All we have to do is back up to Luke, the 20th chapter. And beginning in verse 20, we read that there were those who were watching Jesus and they sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on Jesus's words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they ask him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, perceiving their craftiness, said to them, "Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." Jesus said to them in Luke 20, verse 25, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." But they could not catch him in his words and in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer, and they kept silent. In John, the 18th chapter, And in verses 33 through 38, Pilate enters the praetorium and he calls Jesus and he says to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." What are we saying when we say that there is another King Jesus? We are professing allegiance to Jesus as King. We are claiming the existence of another kingdom. We are affirming that we will obey his voice. Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Because we are affirming that we will obey his voice as the king, we do not advance his kingdom through carnal means. Because we obey his voice, we hear him say, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's," and therefore we render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, like taxes. Jesus teaches us that it is not God or civil government, but God and civil government. There are things that are Caesar's, and there are things that are God's. In John 19, verse 11, Jesus will say to Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." Jesus' words to Pilate are reminiscent of Daniel's words to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 4, in which Daniel communicated to Nebuchadnezzar that the true and living God removes kings and sets up kings. The Most High God rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Writing to Christians in the capital city of the Roman Empire, the Apostle Paul, carried along by the Holy Spirit, would say to them in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." God ordained civil government. He instituted it. He placed it in order. He arranged it. He assigned it. He appointed it. Therefore, we submit and obey and respect and honor civil authorities for the Lord's sake, understanding that this is the will of God. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. And not only that, because we profess allegiance to Jesus as king, because we claim the existence of another kingdom, and because we affirm that we will obey his voice, 1 Timothy 2, 2, we pray. We pray for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. What are we saying when we say that there is another King, Jesus? We are professing allegiance to Jesus as King. We are claiming the existence of another kingdom. We are affirming that we will obey his voice. Which got me to thinking about Paul before Nero. The annals of history do not record the first meeting between the Roman Emperor Nero and the Apostle Paul. But I believe that the Apostle Paul stood before the Roman Emperor Nero sometime between 60 and 62 AD. Because an angel of God told him he was going to. That's why I believe that. Not because some secular Roman historian documented it. In Acts 27 and verses 23 and 24, an angel of God spoke to Paul saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar." And so I think about Paul before Nero, and I think about what the conversation might have been like between these two men. On this throne was the Roman Emperor Nero, who by all accounts was the very worst of us. The very worst of humanity. The poorest reflection of someone created in the image of God. This man had reached the height of earthly power and authority and wealth in his youth. Kings laid their crowns at his feet. The powerful Roman army marched at the command of Nero. The name of Nero made the world tremble. To incur Nero's displeasure was to risk the loss of property and liberty and life itself. Standing before this man, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, the very best of us. When this man learned better, he did better. Transformation, partaking of the divine nation, conforming of the divine nature, conforming to the image of Jesus. Who did it better than this disciple of Jesus Christ? Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, that when he stood before Nero, that he stood before him alone, that he stood before him without friends, without counsel. And I submit to you this morning that when he stood before Nero alone, that he stood before him with all boldness, wearing the full armor of God. And he looked upon the most powerful person in the world. And he had the opportunity to hear Nero say to him, "Nero, what's this I hear about another king?" Perhaps it's at this point, like Nehemiah of old, that Paul prayed to the God of heaven, Nehemiah 2:4. "Nero, what's this I hear about another king?" And then we hear Paul say, echoing Peter in Acts 2, verse 22, "Jesus of Nazareth." Wouldn't you have liked to have heard what Paul said to Nero about Jesus at that moment? "Nero, so tell me about this Jesus' kingdom." "Paul, Jesus' kingdom is..." Wouldn't you have liked to have heard what Paul said to Nero about Jesus' kingdom? After Paul had described the person and the work of Jesus and the nature of his kingdom, I can hear Nero say to Paul, so let me get this straight. Your king, Jesus, died and was buried. Yes, sir, that is correct. You believe that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and that his kingdom on earth is spiritual in nature. Yes, sir, that's what I believe. Nero, you believe he taught you and these other Christians to honor the emperor and to pay taxes for the Lord's sake, meaning the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. Nero, let me get this straight. You aren't raising an army to overthrow Rome. Yes, that's what I believe. And I believe that it was at that moment that Nero said something along the lines of, guards, release this man and stop wasting my time with this nonsense. What is the point of these things this morning? Hear the conclusion with me, beloved. Whatever happens this week. Number one, Jesus will still reign as the King of Kings. Amen. There are those on earth now, right here, right now, who have accepted his rule and entered his realm, who understand that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. There are those on earth right here and right now who understand that King Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 23 and 24. It is the will of God that all, wherever they live, under whatever government that they find themselves, whatever one's gender or skin color or social status or economic status or tribe or language, it is the will of God that all would come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. The truth about Jesus, the truth about King Jesus and his kingdom. There is another King Jesus. There is another kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that longs to be within you, a rule that longs to reign in your heart. Those of us who know the truth, who say there is another King Jesus, who have entered into his kingdom through the new birth, being born again of the water and the Spirit, know. We know to keep silent before him because he is in his holy temple in heaven itself. Habakkuk 2:20. Whatever happens this week, our responsibilities will remain the same. Paul, carried along by the Holy Spirit, told Titus in Titus 3:1, to remind the Christians living on the island of Crete, to remind them of their responsibilities to rulers and authorities. Whatever happens this week, our responsibilities will remain the same. We will continue to submit and obey and respect and honor and pay our taxes and pray for whoever wins. And number three, whatever happens this week, people will still need the gospel. Amen. The Apostle Paul would say in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed about the good news concerning the Lord's anointed, the true and living God's anointed. I'm not ashamed of the fact that he died on a cross. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that he was buried. I'm not ashamed of his person and his work, because on the third day he arose. Through death, he defeated death. He arose from the dead. He ever lives. And there is nothing to be ashamed of concerning his person and his work and the nature of his kingdom. There is nothing to be ashamed of concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel is still the power of God to salvation. people still need to hear the gospel in order to believe it. If we do not preach the gospel to the world today and tomorrow and with the rest of the time that we've been given to use the language of 1 Peter chapter 4, who will? There are all sorts of people in the world today that have all sorts of agendas. Do we really believe that the commission of our King is great? And that he has given us our marching orders with the rest of the time that we have been given. We are to go into all the world. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. And in the first century, by the time that Paul was in prison for the first time awaiting his conversation with Nero, he would write to the church at Colossae and he would say to them that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Within a generation, the gospel was carried into the whole world, and they didn't have the blessings of the information age that are at our disposal. They didn't have a King James Version of the Bible yet. What they had was a faith in Jesus. And everywhere they went and everybody that they had the opportunity to talk to, he told them the same thing. There's another king. There's another kingdom. And we believe in this person. And we believe in his message. Because he rose from the dead. Are we as convicted about the gospel today as they were in the first century? As we think about the things that are going to transpire over the course of this week in our country, whatever happens this week, the very best way we can serve our fellow countrymen is to say to them that there is another king, Jesus. And his kingdom is the one that shall never be destroyed, the one kingdom that shall stand forever. The kingdom of love and grace and forgiveness and reconciliation and acceptance and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit to the glory of the God of heaven. Amen. Whatever happens this week, go live for Jesus. Let the fruit of the Spirit flow like rivers of living water from your heart. And whatever happens this week, let people see that what is in you is calm. Because Jesus is the King of Kings and he reigns. Amen. Go live for Jesus this week, and whatever happens, let people look at you and say, what is wrong with you? Why do you have such peace in the midst of all this? Because I belong to the God of peace. My King is the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit is producing the fruit of peace in my heart. And what you see in my life can be in your life too. If you'll just submit to the rule of this other King, King Jesus. Amen. If you're not a Christian this morning, we encourage you to think about who Jesus is and what he did and why he did it. He wants to rule in your heart. He wants you to enter his spiritual realm. He wants you to be ready when he comes again to deliver the kingdom to the Father. And you can be ready by being born again of the water and the Spirit, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, in which you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll be translated spiritually into the kingdom of the Son of our God and Father's dear love. You will be accepted in the beloved, and as a result, you too will be beloved by the Father in heaven. And you too will receive the same Spirit that will produce love and joy and peace, goodness and kindness, and self-control, and all these wonderful attributes that we see in Jesus. They will be in you too. As God works in your life from the inside out.
we can help you in any way to that end, just let one of us know this morning. We're happy to baptize you into Christ this very day so that you can enter into his kingdom and await for him to come again to deliver you home. We're going to turn our attention now as God's people to something that Jesus said before he died that his people would do in the kingdom. And so the Lord's Supper communicates each first day of the week that we have a king and we're a part of a kingdom. And we gather together around our king's table each first day of the week to think about the sacrificial love that he showed in time so that we could spend eternity with him. Our king's crown in time was a crown of thorns. When he died, he did not look like the King of Kings, but God. And that is the message of the gospel in Acts, the second chapter. Y'all had one idea about this Jesus of Nazareth, and y'all took him with lawless hands and y'all crucified him. But God. But God has raised him up and given him the name that is above all names. And he now reigns above all principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And he's coming again. And until he comes, we remember his body and we drink of his blood. We partake in him, pledging allegiance to him, communicating that we believe that his kingdom exists now. And we reaffirm our covenant each first day of the week, saying to him and to one another, let's be about the business of obeying our King's voice. I'm going to sing a song that will encourage us to say that there is another King, Jesus. And then we'll turn our attention to the partaking of the Lord's Supper.